If you have an iPhone or one of these smartphones and you take pictures, at the end of the year, your camera will automatically set up a year in review. And it'll put all the pictures out, it'll put some music to it, and you can sit there and you can watch about all the things that happened in the year. If you turn on the news, they will have some sort of segment on the significant stories of the year, significant things that happen in the world over the year. You know, Paul says that we're supposed to forget those things that which are behind and reach for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we need to understand where God has taken us through this year. If you were here in Sunday school, you're going to hear a different version of it, but it's basically the same point. And the title, and I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. And the question I'm going to ask this morning of all of us, are we finishing well? Are we finishing well? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this year, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I ask that you just help us, Lord, to understand the truth of your word and, Father, to apply it in our life. Lord, I just ask that you just give us grace. You give us your mercy. Father, you give us your truth. Father, you have your Holy Spirit work in our lives today. Father, we ask that you bind Satan on our behalf. He has no right here. And Lord, I just pray that we would just come out of here being more like you today. Father, bless this message, Lord, for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, it says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy. And we understand the context of this letter. It was written from prison in Rome. And it was Paul waiting for the final judgment. It says here in verse 6, it says, for I am now ready to be offered. You know, we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Are you willing to be offered, ready and willing to be offered today? And the time of my departure is at hand. In verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 4, it says, at my first answer, he's already been brought before Caesar. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. We talked about the Garden of Gethsemane last Wednesday night and how Christ was standing alone in the garden, because he even commanded those who were capturing him, arresting him, to let the disciples go, that he lose none. But he was standing alone. He was alone on the cross, taking our sins. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul had already had some near-death experiences. He had had them on the missionary journeys that he had. And now he had one here in Rome. But the context of this letter, he's writing this from prison. And oftentimes, you know, when something goes bad, we just think about ourselves. And Paul had the compassion to think about his young protege, Timothy. Folks, do we always think about ourselves? Or do we talk or think about others, especially when times get rough? He's waiting for the final judgment. In verse 9 through 12 and 14 through 15 of this chapter, we see the circumstances that Paul faces here. He's alone except for Luke. In verse 9 through 12, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Paul longs for the fellowship of Timothy. And then look at these names for Demas. If you go into a couple of letters before, he talks about Demas was one of those that were sending a greeting. And now he's turned his back on God. He says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed into Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." You know, God can restore people too. On their very first missionary journey, Mark left them in Pamphylia. And it got so bad on the second journey that it split Barnabas and Paul. And Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas. But you know something? God can restore. He can make people who were initially not useful, useful. He says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." Some of these left because they didn't like it anymore. Some of this left because Paul sent them there. Because once again, Paul's thinking of others. He's alone except for Luke. There's an action of an adversary. In verses 14 and 15, it says, "Alexander the coppersmith." It might say smith in your translation, but he's a metal worker. There was an Alexander in Ephesus that was a metal worker too. He says, "Did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words." Paul's not only encouraging Timothy, he's also warning him to stay away from people that are not going your way. To stay away from people that are not doing the right thing. In fact, in his first letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." And here's the point. Demas had forsaken him. Alexander may have followed initially, but then turned his back. Paul's alone. Paul's alone, and now he's got people who have turned on him and now having an adversarial relationship with him. So we see the context of Paul's letter. We see the circumstances that Paul faces here, and we see the charge that Paul makes. Here in our text, he says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that you preach the word, you be instant in season." What does instant mean? You be ready. Be ready. Out of season. Not when it's just convenient for you. Be ready all the time. Reprove. We need to tell the world the truth. Rebuke when someone does wrong. That's okay. No, you tell them the truth. You know, when you stand for the truth, it's a great encouragement. Amen. It's a great encouragement. Later on, in his first letter, it's the same message. And folks, we need to have the same message. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he tells Timothy as he concludes the first letter, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses." But what I want us to do here is I want us to look at verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And this morning, I'm going to ask you three questions. This year, are you fighting a good fight? We need to fight a good fight as believers in Christ. There's three fights that are out there that we have to fight. First of all, we have to fight a good fight for ourselves. In Romans chapter 7, verse 23, Paul talks about this constant struggle that he has with sin. David touched on it this morning about we always fight the lust of the flesh. And it's something that we have to fight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we saw what pure means. It means to be devout and be just and to pray and have the Holy Ghost working in your life. In Romans 7, verse 23, Paul writes this. He says, but I see another law in my members. And he uses this term, warring against the law of my mind. This is an internal struggle we all fight with. How have you fought this fight this year? In bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, it's a fight that we have to fight. And we have to fight it for ourselves. It's a committed struggle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So what? Fight I. But not one that shadow boxes. Not one that just goes, everything's bad! And just flails around as one that beateth the air. You beat your adversary. You beat your adversary. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what's at stake in our fight? Our testimony. Yes, sir. The ability to have God work in our lives. The ability to go witness. The ability to say the truth. And if we don't do the truth, how can we talk about the truth? Amen. Because people say, you don't believe what you preach. Oh, folks, are we fighting a good fight this year for yourself? In the Old Testament, after Israel and Judah and Jerusalem was taken and conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, they destroyed the walls of Jerusalem. And the city laid in waste for years until a man by the name of Nehemiah had the boldness to approach the ruler of the Persian Empire and say, let me go back and rebuild the walls. And he gets out there in the story of Nehemiah, he gets out there, he comes out at night and he looks at all the walls and everything's broken down. And he goes and he talks to the elders and he talks to the people of the city and they say, it's been like this for a long time. Why do we want change? And Nehemiah tells him in chapter 1, tells him about how God had delivered him and used him and provided all these provisions for the wall. And they were encouraged. And they started building the wall. And as soon as they started doing something for God, enemies came in. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, they were coming at a crisis. And folks, these fights bring a crisis in our life. It says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I set even the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and I rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And what? Fight. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every man unto his work. Are you fighting a good fight for yourself? Are you fighting a good fight for your family? We see here, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. In verse 15, it says, your enemy's out there. And you need to know that the enemy is out there. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, you can't fight for your family when you give place to the devil. You can't fight for your family when you open up the floodgates for bad stuff to come in, be it whatever the case may be. If you're not fighting this fight for your family, you're going to lose them. You will lose them. And it's not an attitude of, I'm okay, everything's okay. No, it's not. It's a fight for your life. It's a fight for yourself. You need to know that the enemy is out there, and personal involvement is required on each and every one of us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't say, well, I got it under control. I'll take care of it myself. I'll make the circumstances different. No, you won't. No, you won't. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And these are the things that you have to deal with when you're fighting for your family. Amen. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, you're going to do the right thing. You're going to be just. You're going to care for your family. You're going to be like Paul. He's writing letters from prison to his children in the faith. Oh, you need to know that the enemy is out there and personal involvement is required. You can't fight the fight that's been assigned to you and assign it to someone else. What are we doing about it? Are we fighting a good fight for our families, church? Lastly, are we fighting a good fight for the body of Christ? It's an individual fight. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Okay, folks, here's a standard of life right there. You need to fight this for yourself. You need to fight this for your family, or your family's going to go down the tubes. You need to fight this for the church. It's an individual fight. Back in Revelation chapter 3, John is scribing a letter down to Sardis. And the second thing is for the body of Christ, are you fighting a good fight? It's an individual fight. We all have to be involved. And it's an important one. And it's one we cannot afford to lose. There are too many churches today losing this fight. There are too many families being lost. Too many Christians falling behind and falling by the wayside. You can't afford to lose it. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, and unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. It's an important fight. You can't afford to lose this because it could be death. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. It's an important fight that you cannot afford to lose. It's an important fight because casualties are numerous. In verses 3 and 4 it says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And then he says this in verse 4. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. Where's all the others? They're casualties of war. They're ones that didn't finish well. They're ones that didn't fight the good fight, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It's an important fight you can't afford to lose, church. It's an important fight that because casualties are numerous. You know, you ride down the road and you see the signs. It says, stop the streak of Texas fatalities on the road. Folks, we need to stop the streak of Christian fatalities. Consequences are eternal. Verses 6 and 7 of Revelation 3, it says, 5 and 6, it says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Back in our text, if you go down to verse 8, it says, in verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So how did you do this year fighting for your spiritual self? How did you do this year fighting for your families? How did you do this year fighting for the church? Folks, it's an invincible fight. In Matthew 18:18, it says, and this I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and look at this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, folks, we can win. But have you won this year? Are you fighting a good fight? Secondly, Paul writes, he says, I finished my course. Did you finish what God wanted you to do this year? We're saved to serve. Did we finish what God wanted us to do, or have you delayed to finish? Have you let something else get in the way of doing what God wants you to do? The call for Christ is to follow him. And in Luke chapter 9, verses 61 through 62, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, if we say we love Jesus, we don't finish what God has called us to do, are we fit for God? Oftentimes we start something. I have a lot of things in my garage that I start and I don't finish. There's things in my house that I've started but I haven't finished. But folks, when God called us to do something, he that began a good work in you, he's going to be able to complete it in the day of Christ. And folks, we need to say, if God's called us to do something, we're going to start it. We need to finish it. Have you finished it this year? Some don't even want to start. Have we been resisting God this last year? And you know something? God gives us a new start. It's just like we have a new year. He gives us a new start. Christ has given a parable about the wedding supper. And he asked his servants to go out and invite in Luke chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. It says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Folks, there's no excuse for serving God. For not serving God. He gave his all for us, and we need to give our all for him. It says, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Don't let the world's riches get in the way. I pray thee, have me excused. And I said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Don't let work get in the way. And I go to prove them. I pray he have me excused. And don't let your family get in the way. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. What do you mean you cannot come? You know, you will never finish anything that you don't start. Period. So the question is, have you started something for God and not finished it? Or God's asking you to do something you never started? Did you finish what God wanted you to do? Now, here's an encouragement. You can finish what has been left undone through God. Before Nehemiah was sent back to rebuild the walls, there was another return of the captives. It was led by a guy by the name of Zerubbabel. He was appointed the governor of Jerusalem in that area. His task was to rebuild the temple because Cyrus gave him that task. And he goes out there and he lays the foundation, and once again, people didn't like what was happening. And they came and they made Xerxes make another decree that it would stop. And so for 20 years, the foundation of the temple had been laying in waste. And then God sends Haggai and Zechariah to him. And we've studied that. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, he says, then he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, therefore, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto thee. There, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. But not by might, not by your power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Folks, how can we show that God works in our life and nothing gets done? How can we show that God works in our families if nothing gets done? How can we show that God works in our church if nothing happens? How can we say that we're doing all we can for God if we never finish or we never start? See, God allows us to finish what has been undone. Lastly, so, are you fighting a good fight this year? Have you fought a good fight this year? Did you finish what God has asked you to start? And then the last question is this. Paul writes, he says, I kept the faith. He encourages Timothy. He says, hold fast the faith. Are you keeping the faith? You can start new. Keeping the faith is absolutely essential. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, it says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest what? War, a good warfare. See, you can't fight the fights that you need to fight unless you have the faith. You can't do what God wants you to do unless you have the faith. Mightest war, a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, hath made shipwrecked. How is your boat of faith sailing today? Is it taking on water? Or is it tight watertight in the faith of God. It is absolutely essential that we keep the faith. Question, do you listen to what people say about the Bible or what the Bible says? There are too many people today that will listen to some man tell them about the Bible instead of going to the Bible themselves and reading it. And that's why we have the problems we have today. Go back to our text in verses 3 and 4. It says, for the time will come. See, that was in the future for Paul. But Paul's future is our present. Paul saw this. He says, well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, sin is sin. No matter what you think about it, it's sin. And what God says is right is right. What God says is wrong is wrong. Amen. And if you're saying, well, it doesn't mean that. The Bible is a living document to eternity, but it's also absolute truth. It says, they won't endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears because they want to do things their way, and they'll find someone to twist the word of God to meet that thing. That's what David said this morning in Sunday school. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Are you keeping the faith? Do you see the essential nature of this? Do you listen to what people say about the Bible or what the Bible says itself? Do you have faith when challenged? In verse 5 it says this, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul knew that Timothy was going to be challenged. Paul knew that we were going to be challenged. And we are challenged. Christ, in John 17, prays for us, knowing that these things are going to happen. And he prays for unity. He prays for unity in belief. He prays for unity in worship. He prays for unity in spreading the gospel. We need to do what God wants us to do and not what we think. You know, one of the challenges of faith that the disciples had when they were walking with Christ is the feeding of the 5,000. And their first answer was, well, just send them away. Let's just get rid of the problem. Let's just ignore it. Let's just turn our back on it. You can't do that. You got to deal with it. You got to fight the problem. And then the next thing is that you try to solve it yourself. Didn't work. How can we feed all these people with just this handful of stuff? But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, he says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of what? Little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? I want to tell you the biggest enemy of faith at times is reason. You think about it, and you say, it doesn't make sense, therefore I'm not going to do it. That's exactly what faith is all about. With God, with man, these things are not possible. With God, all things are what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He's going to give me all these. We are more than overcomers through him that loved us. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Do you have faith when challenged? The Bible instructs us to examine ourselves. As I close this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Are you fighting the fight for yourself? Are you fighting the fight for your family? Are you fighting the fight for the body of Christ, the church? Are you fighting to finish what you've started? Are you fighting to start what God's called you to start? Do you understand the essential nature of faith? Do you listen to what the Bible says and not to man's thinking? Have we gone through challenges through the power of God or through the power of us? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. What a great thing this morning to get right with God. What a great thing this morning as this year closes out to finish well and finish in Christ with a relationship in Him. Are you more like Christ today than at the beginning of this year? That's the real issue about finishing well. Could you say what Paul said? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he looks forward. He says, henceforth is laid up to me a crown of righteousness. End this year right with God. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, find him today. If we have him as our Savior, how are we doing? What's our report card? Would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or he said, you need some help. There's no bonus points in our life. We do what God expects us to do. It's our reasonable service to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We can start and end this year anew by being right with God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to hear your word. Father, just help us. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, if they died right now, they don't know where they go to heaven. Father, I pray that they would understand that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried, and you rose again the third day to show that you have power over sin, power over death, and the ability to forgive and forgive sin and to save us. Lord, for us, help us to take that resurrection power and apply it to our lives, that we can fight the right fights and we can win in you, that we finish what you've called us to do, and that, Father, we hold on to faith. Father, help us today in this time of invitation. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.